Amen, amen. Thank you so much, Sister Yvonne and our sister. Thank you so much, Father, so much for what you are doing in our midst. Thank you so much for drawing us to your presence as we just waited upon you in worship. Father, we thank you so much for your love for this altar. Because of the sacrifice that is raised up before your throne, and you see the heart of your people in the midst of all the distractions of our day. Father, they have offered themselves to you in fasting. They've offered themselves to you in prayer, in worship. And Father, they've given their time to you. That even in these difficult times, they after so many hours of walking and praying, they are still here tonight to seek your face, to hear your voice. Father, we are humbled by these vessels you raised. So tonight again, we are looking to you, wonderful Spirit of grace, the one who teaches us all things, the one that guides us to all truth. Father, we pray for the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. Father, we pray for understanding. Continue to open our eyes. Empower us, O God, to fulfill the desires of your heart and to be instruments truly that you can trust and to pray your heart in these times. So we give you glory. We give you honor. Father, remember every family that is represented on this altar. And you will continue to meet the needs of the family. Father, I lift up the marriages on this altar. I lift up, O God, everyone and the desires of your heart. I lift up their families, their children, their jobs, every area and every source of expectation. Father, I thank you. You are truly a rewarder of those who are diligent before your throne in seeking your face. Father, I pray that this season, O God, that you are unfolding, will meet every one of us where we are and take us, O God, to where you want us to be. Father, I pray that your children will begin, O God, to experience their personal expectations in the areas of miracles, their desires met in a supernatural way. I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that these times of refreshing will visit each and every one of us in the different areas of our need. Father, thank you. You are a covenant keeper. Father, you are a God who promises and everything comes to pass. Let this be seasons of fulfillment, seasons where all our expectations will not be disappointed. Father, continue to encourage us, continue to inspire us by your Spirit. Thank you, you said those who sow in tears, there is a season where they will reap with joy. Father, thank you. Thank you. We give you all the glory and honor for what you're doing. Let these words refresh us. Let it establish, O God, prayer points in our hearts that we will not miss you even after I've labored so much in prayer. Receive all the glory and honor. We thank you. Have your way, wonderful Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you all so much. Honestly, I'm so always encouraged knowing that God truly has people in every generation who don't consider their obedience to God as, you know, a big sacrifice. And this 24/7 line of the Willing Women that we are a part of, and the commitment of this prayer warriors, you know, in ASLPN, it's just so encouraging. It's so encouraging. And I know God is pleased with the incense on this altar. So thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for all you do. Tonight, what I just feel led to share is something that I believe I've been praying into for years. But also is something that I believe that I really need to seek the face of the Lord even more because of the it's very easy for any of us to miss the days of our visitation. It's so easy to miss it. So I want to share briefly tonight about discerning the signs of the times. Discerning the signs of the times. In other words, for us to be sensitive to what the Spirit of God is saying or is doing in the times that we live in, especially when we have signs, miraculous signs, awakening us or pointing us to the times that we live in. Amen. So the first scripture I want to read to bring bring about this is in the book of 1 Chronicles chapter 12 verse 32. This was when David, as soon as Saul just passed away, and then God was bringing David into a place of the manifestation of fulfillment of the oil that was put upon him. So the different tribes of Israel were being activated. So this particular tribe was made mention of, the tribe of Issachar. So 1 Chronicles 12, chapter 32, he said, "And of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do. The heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their commandments." In other words, he said these people had understanding of the Kairos moments of God, the divine appointments of God, the timing when God interrupts or intercepts the times of men and begin to introduce his purposes in the earth. Even Jesus, many, many times before he left, was warning them about signs of their time, signs of their time, and signs of the last days, signs of the last days. So here the children of Israel, God empowered a whole tribe and a lot of people in that tribe to have discerning of the times of Israel, the times, the prophetic moments of Israel. So we want to look at that a little bit today, because there are just so much happening in our days. And the reason why we've been on a 40 days fast of consecration is because God in his mercy has blessed us with prophetic voices in our midst. And we one of the prophetic voices, we received a clear word about the need for us to go into his 40 days prayer and fasting for the nation. God will not call you or call a body to a 40 days fasting and prayer after you've been fasting, after you prayed. Some of you know the cost of obeying God in the area of fasting and prayer. Not just 3 days, not just 7 days, 40 days. And you have been so faithful. So there must be a reason for it. There must be a reason why what God is doing with that time of prayer and fasting. And you all been faithful, 6 p.m. every night, just crying out to God. Surely God will reward you. Thank you. So the children of Israel had a gifting that God released among them, and is to give Israel understanding of Kairos moments so that they can cause Israel to know what to do, how to position themselves in the seasons, and be able to harvest the plans and purposes of God, you know, on behalf of the nation. So, and the rest of the people listen to them carefully. So we have to pray, we have to wait upon the Lord, but at the same time we have to be sensitive when our prayers have been answered, and also how we are to use the manifestations of the answered prayer as pointers to the next season and what we need to do. So that's one. So I want to read a few more scriptures, and then I will share about how we can really start positioning ourselves so that we can be effective in how God wants to use us in this season. Amen. There's somebody that is on a speakerphone, and I think because you're on a speakerphone, is creating some kind of interference. So if you can put your phone, that would be good. Or maybe somebody's watching television or something. But we have a noise on the background. If you can help us, amen. Amen. Okay, before I read some scriptures to help us a lot to really see the seriousness of discerning the signs of times, I want to bring a few examples of some good examples and some other very difficult examples that we too can make that mistakes if we're not careful, especially when God has called us to the place of intercession. There is, of course, like you all know, in the days of Malachi. Malachi was the last prophet of the Old Testament. And he prophesied about that God, before the coming of the Lord, that he's going to send Elijah the prophet. And then, you know, Malachi was that last prophet, he prophesied. So for 400 years before Jesus came, it was what they call a dark age, really dark time, where there was no prophecy at all. No major, everything was just dark, you know, except for a few revolts, you know, during, between then and the coming of Christ. So, but before Jesus came, Angel Gabriel started appearing to different people. And the first house he went to was the house of Zechariah. And Zechariah was married to Elizabeth. And Elizabeth and Zechariah were very prayerful people, very faithful. Especially Zechariah was called in the office of prayer, incense. That was his allocation in the temple. So here is a real praying man and his wife. But for some reason, the wife was barren. So at least one area of expectation they had was not being met, and it was visible. So these people were faithful in prayer, but the season came that God wanted to start fulfilling the expectations of their heart that they have already dropped. They have already given up on it, but they didn't know God had a greater plan for them. So Angel Gabriel came and met Zechariah in a most powerful manifestation, a wonderful sign for just meeting him supernaturally in a place where he was praying in the temple. And the Gabriel basically came to say, your time of fulfillment has come, basically. The time for your miracle has come. The time for your breakthrough has come. But Zechariah has been praying so long, in expecting an answer to prayer, in waiting, the wife's womb died. He's barren. So it's like, in the physical, he's lost the expectation. He still believes in God, but he's lost the expectation, not knowing. He's never seen a womb come back like that. Of course, he has an example of Sarah. But here, Zechariah was questioning the angel in unbelief. So the time came, he did not really discern the time because the expectations of his heart have been dropped. So that's one example that didn't go very well with the angel and with his time. So Zechariah was made to be dumb. He could not speak. So that was almost like a negative sign for him to discern the season that God has brought him. But eventually, when the child was born, Zechariah spoke. And, it was clear that something, a change of season has come. So that's an example of a praying man that did not and wasn't sensitive to the moments of change, to a new season. Another example was Esther, in the days where the atmosphere has shifted. And it took, you all know the story because we talk about it a lot. The Jews have been under a prevailing demonic handwriting to destroy them, just like exactly the position we find ourselves in America right now with what the enemy is doing. So But Esther was in a very comfortable position in the palace. But Esther was also under that handwriting, but she just thought she could escape it because, you know, her identity was not very visible. So, but Mordecai had to visit Esther. And understanding the weight of the season, Mordecai had to awaken Esther. And he says, Esther, you know, if you hold your peace at this time, you know, relief will come, deliverance will come to the Jews from a different source. God will use somebody else. But you and your family might lose, you might be, will be destroyed. In other words, you will lose the purpose for which God has called you into a nation for such a time as this. So God had to use Mordecai to waken Esther into her season of destiny, into her time that she was being prepared to serve. So that's a moment that if it wasn't for Mordecai, Esther would have slept through her destiny. God, that's what her, God prepared her for that moment. And because she was awakened, she became an instrument by which God used to bring a deliverance, bring a shift to the mobilization of the prayer that brought a change. So it's not about number. We could have a lot of Esthers on this line. We could have a lot of Mordecais. But if we, after praying or waiting, and we see, we don't discern the handwriting of the time, we could miss the reason for which God has called us as intercessors or called us for a moment like this. We don't have to wait on the whole world to, you know, to believe that America can be shifted. All God is looking for is a remnant that are in partnership and they understand the times and seasons and they're able to zero into what God is saying and doing. They are the ones that can turn the handwriting over the nation, because it's not by might, it's not by power, but by the Spirit of God. Amen. Now, a good example of somebody that is sensitive to a new season is a woman by the name of Anna. Anna, you know, in her days, she, you know, after she lost her husband, she consecrated her life to a place of intercession, to begin to pray in partnership with heaven for the promises and the prophetic words that came from the book of Malachi. So she was just stays in the temple praying for the consolation of Israel, believing God for the promise of God to come to pass in her days. And she was praying for years, night and day, even with fasting, committed to this call of intercession. And one day, they just, you know, like everybody else comes to the temple to dedicate their children or fulfill the requirements of the law, for dedication. And one day he saw this man and woman, they were in the temple like everybody else. But when she came into the temple, just like another man that came in there too, his name is, you know, Zachariah too, he discerned, you know, Esther, Anna came in, a woman seasoned in prayer, a prophetess. She walked into that place and she was able to discern a season, discern the Lord. The Lord at the young age, she was able to prophetically look at this family, look at this son, and say, this is that which God has promised us. At even as a baby, she was able to see the change of season, what God is beginning to do at a young age. So I just wanted to bring that to our attention. And then I want to also bring about, you know, Israel. Israel, especially Nazareth, the people of Nazareth, where Jesus grew up. I'm going to read that very soon. When Jesus came to the temple, after God has called him now into his commission, Jesus literally spoke to them and told them and said, you know, he came into the temple as always. You can see this in the book of Matthew, Mark. Luke came into the temple as always, you know, and they put the scroll before him and he read the book of Isaiah 61. And after he read the book of Isaiah 61, he says, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Meaning he was telling them, it's a new season has come. what I just read to you, he told them, this is being manifested to your hearing. And they were like, what? I mean, is this not Jesus of Nazareth? The brothers we know, the sisters we know, and they were so angry that a man will come and stand before them and say, I'm the Messiah. Because that's what Jesus was basically telling them, that he's manifested in the flesh. They were so angry. They had no discernment whatsoever. They took him right from that temple, or what you call church today. They picked him up and carried him to the cliff of the city and wanted to kill him, throw him there. And God just miraculously walked through them. Could you imagine? Could you imagine the lack of discernment of times and season, even when he was there telling them? So, and they could be in the temple praying all the time, believing God for God to do something. You know, you all remember also when Peter came out of jail, you know, the people were praying night and day, believing God for a miracle for Peter to come out of jail. Peter came out of jail and knocked on the door where they were praying. And when they opened the door, of course, you know, the young girl rode and went and told them. And the Bible says they thought he was a spirit. So these things are possible, that because we are human, after spending so much time in prayer, it's very easy for us not to discern the signs of the fulfillment or the times of the seasons that we are in, especially with what America is today and where we've been assigned in prayer. So I want to read a scripture again and then see how we can pray that God will give us discernment in this season. The scripture I want to read now is John, the book of John, chapter 2. It says, and the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto them, the mother of Jesus said unto him, unto Jesus, they have no wine. Jesus said unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? My hour is not yet come. His mother said unto the servants, notice, he did not even respond to Jesus. He just turned unto the servants there. And he said unto the servant, whatsoever he says unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of Jews, containing 2 or 3 foreskins apiece. Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he said unto them, draw out now and bear it to the governor of the feast. And the boy did take it to the governor of the feast. Verse 9. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom and said unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. Verse 11. This beginning, the Bible says, this beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested his glory. Listen to this. And his disciples believed on him. His disciples believed on him. Okay, I'm going to read one more scripture and then we'll kind of summarize this. Amen. The other scripture I want to read is in the book of Acts. Acts of the Apostles. It says, I'll read from chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Verse 5. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Verse 6. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? And they named the different nations. And then from verse 12, and they were all amazed and were in doubt, that is questioning, saying one to another, What meanest this? What meanest this? Others mocking said, These men are full of new wine. Verse 14, But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, You men of Judea, and all you that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day, around 9 a.m. in the morning. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says the Lord, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And upon your servants and upon your handmaidens, I'll pour my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. And it just went on and on and on. Now, Jesus spoke to these people to go wait in the book of Acts chapter 1 for the promise of the Father. A promise has been prophesied in the Bible. And Jesus just told them, "This, just go and wait for this promise. Go pray. Go pray. Go wait." They don't know how long they wait. They don't know how many days, but they waited. You all know the story. And this was what happened when they waited. As they waited, God started moving, and a miracle started taking place. And this miracle manifested in form of tongues. And the people were not only praying in unknown tongues, but they were praying in tongues that when people heard them, they were hearing even their own languages. They were hearing God speak to them in the native language they were born from, different nations. And they were marveled at this miracle. And the question was, what does this mean? What does this sign mean? So they were asking, what does this sign mean? So it was Peter who God has really blessed with the prophetic, you know, ears and eyes. He was the one, like I just read, that God just began to speak to him. And Peter started saying, this is that, this is that, this is that. So Peter stepped into what God called the children of Issachar. In the Old Testament, God called Peter into a prophetic voice in the New Testament to discern the time and to prophetically be able to give understanding of the season to the people. So Issachar did that in the Old Testament, and Peter was doing that for the New Testament people. I say, no, this is that. This is the season that is coming to be. This is what God said. This is the generation, and this is what is beginning to happen. And based on Peter unlocking an understanding of a sign, 3,000 people were able to enter into that reality and gave their life to God, because they understood what the signs were, what the times meant, and they received God into that season. Amen. So the other scripture that I read, and we'll get back to this, is the life of Jesus. And the reason why I read that is because there's something we need to learn from Mary, the mother of Jesus, in the season we live in today. Mary, the mother of Jesus, he was pregnant, of course, with all the prophetic things that came to him. He was pregnant with Jesus, and he was a virgin. He gave birth to the Son of God. He raised him up. He nurtured him. He fed him. He, and Jesus grew that's his mother. And but one thing you can see, all the prophecies, Mary stored them in her heart and kept on. But as he watched this, his son grew and grew and grew and grew and grew and grew. Now, Jesus, at the age of 30, went to the baptism of John. And while John the Baptist was baptizing, he was a forerunner. He was that prophetic forerunner. As he was baptizing, Jesus went to be baptized. You all know the story. And all of a sudden, the heavens were open. And John, God already spoke to John before then that he was going to give him a sign. And when he sees this sign, he will know that this is that one, the Lamb, that will take away the sins of the world, the Messiah. So as Jesus was being baptized, the heaven opened. John saw it. And the Holy Spirit came in the form of a dove, rested upon him. And God says, "This is my Son, in whom I'm well pleased." A new season just shifted, meaning heaven has opened, just like the experience at the upper room. Heaven has opened, meaning now the Spirit of God is now resting upon Jesus. A new season has come. But nobody knew it because it's kingdom of God come up without outward appearance. But John saw the sign. So, and then Jesus now is anointed. A new season has come. The power of God is upon him. He stepped out of that place into the wilderness. And after 40 days, the Bible says he came out in the power of the Spirit. Now, he's human. He's come out of the wilderness. What is he going to do? He goes home, eats, refresh himself. Nothing has happened. But he came home just like the normal person, just like he was. But something has shifted in the climate of the nation. Anointing has come. His time of ministry has come. Something has shifted. But still, it's not visible to people. So now he was invited to a marriage. Thank God Jesus goes to wedding too. He was invited to a marriage. Amen. And he went to this marriage. And, nothing looks different on the outside. But a shift has come. A new season has come. So he went to the marriage, and there was no wine like we just read. Here is where Mary's discernment of the times and the season came in. When they didn't have wine, Mary has been with Jesus all his life and has never put a supernatural expectation on him. In public, in a wedding, publicly, in front of people, he put a demand on Jesus. You see, Mary was not putting a demand on the person per se. He was putting a demand on the anointing upon his life because of the new season. Because Jesus says, "My hour has not come." Mary did not listen to that. Mary turned to the servants and put a demand on the anointing and said, "Whatever he tells you, do it." Meaning Mary was saying, "I know my son. I've watched him for 30 years of his life. I see him go, come in. I see him go, come back, go, come." Mary knew that as soon as Jesus came back this time, wherever he went, baptism, he knew that the atmosphere around him had shifted. He knew that something has happened. And Mary was able to connect all the prophecies together and knew the season has come for this, my son, to fulfill his assignment. So she was very discerning the time the anointing wasn't there, all these years. And she was very discerning right the season when the atmosphere shifted. And in public, she said, "Son, this will happen. Anything you say at this time, it will be a miracle. Whatever comes out of your mouth will be performed because a new season has come." And so Jesus was compelled by faith of a discerning woman to step into the first miracle he ever did, the anointing ever did. So the first miracle in the Bible was not, just like the woman with the issue of blood. When he came to Jesus, Jesus says, "Virtue has left me." Why? Because the woman believed that if it touches the garment of the touches the garment that Jesus was wearing, that she will receive healing. When Jesus looked at the woman, he says, "Woman, your faith has made you whole." So here, Mary tapped by faith, discerning the shift of the atmosphere, and started believing God for a miracle. And her faith and her discerning manifested the first miracle ever done by the Messiah on earth, accredited to the faith and the discernment of Mary, the mother of Jesus. And it's recorded that this was the beginning of miracle. 4 chapters after, then it says, then Jesus did his second miracle. And this was the first miracle. And then the Bible says, if you put all the miracles ever done by Jesus, the books of the earth will not contain it. So why would the first miracle be credited to the mother of Jesus? Because she was very discerning of a new season and a new anointing and a changed atmosphere. So the same thing, Peter was always very sensitive to receiving revelations by the Spirit of the Lord. When Jesus asked them, "Who do men say that I am? And who do you say I am?" Peter received a revelation that wasn't given by flesh and blood. And in the book of Acts, as people were asking, "What does this mean? What's going on? What is going on? What's really happening?" All these unbelievers are asking, and even the believers are asking. But Peter, by the prophetic understanding of the season, said, "This is that which the prophet said." So the reason I feel like bringing this is, myself, personally, I think for 25 years I've been crying on behalf of this nation, and I've been praying. And of course, there's nothing, this is far, I'm not using anything, I'm just sharing my own testimony. Has nothing to do with, the magnitude of what we're talking about here in the Bible. But this is just my personal testimony that I believe that God is allowed to bring an awakening to me about seeking Him for clarity and discerning of this moment. So, like Zachariah, most people just praying and waiting on the Lord. All my assignment in the area of prayer has been towards praying for the destiny of America, for the future of America, for the awakening of the nation, for the revival. That was the assignment and the call. And that's what we've been doing. So, like everybody, when is God going to do this? How is God going to do that? Well, there's these questions here. God, when are you going to really move? You never know. So you wait. It looks like something's going to happen. After a while, you just give up. You just keep praying, but you believe, you wait. But this last Pentecost, on the day of Pentecost, God really met me in a way that was unusual and gave me a sign. And the sign was something I was not expecting, but it's probably one of the greatest blessings I never expected would turn my whole life around. So with that happened to me on Pentecost Sunday, see, the Lord is reminding me that this is a new season for me. But again, he's asking me, what does this season mean to you prophetically? And how is that connected to what you're praying for in the nation? Now, being awakened by that, the reason I share the rest of what I shared with Hannah, Zachariah, Esther, Israel, Mary, and all this whole thing about discerning the times and the signs of the times. Jesus says, "I'll give them time." My brothers and sisters, we are in a generation like the days of Noah. We're in a generation like the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. We're in a generation that Jesus used so many things. Look at Israel. Look at America. Look at the nations of the earth. So we don't know, because these things just continue. We don't know what is in the air. But I believe that the reason I feel like sharing these patterns to us is, I believe that God has raised you up as intercessors, as a remnant of people that God can trust to really, through the fasting you're doing, through the prayer, through your commitment, to partner with God towards what God is about to do in the nation, that will bring about the deliverance, the salvation, and breakthrough in this nation, regardless of what we see physically manifesting. Look at the two people that are contesting for presidency. I talk to leaders, I watch, you know, different leaders in the nation. I listen to them, and I can see a bewilderment. I can see amazement on their faces, their eyes. It's almost like, what do we do? They don't know what to do. They are confused. And so we are living in a time where if you really discern what is happening morally, spiritually, and now a new season is coming in the nation. We call, you know, of course, it's election, but this election is the most uncertain, so unclear what it will look like, because people just cannot place anything on what they are saying. So when you look at all this together, and you look at the Middle East, you look at all that is happening, the question is, in the book of Acts, is what means all this? What does this mean for the kingdom of God? What does it mean? What is this season saying to us? What is this times telling us? Or are we just going to be like the days of Noah? A people who saw Noah building an ark, saw all these animals going into the ark, but the Bible says they were still drinking, and they were still building, they were giving themselves to marriages. Should we just give ourselves to completely the circle of life that we've been living and not ask questions like the book of Acts? God, will you give us discerning of this time? Will you give us, show us, teach us, so that we know what we ought to do and how to position ourselves so that we can be used mightily in this season to bring glory to your kingdom? So I just want us to start praying into this, especially as we begin to seal this 40 days of prayer and fasting this Friday. Let us begin to pray and ask the Lord, open our eyes, show us, what are you saying to America? What are you saying to the church? What are you saying to me and my family? What are you calling? Where you put? Because understanding the times and season and how you position yourselves is going to really bring you to a place of supernatural promotion and supernatural blessing. Because maybe next week I will share that we are actually in a season, but we're going to enter the fullness of it before the year is over, called Jubilee. You know, the season of Jubilee. So, you know, what does Jubilee mean to a Christian? What does it mean in the Old Testament? What does that mean spiritually to the church? And what does that mean in the season we are looking at? So, my brothers and sisters, I just thank God so much for you. I thank God for what your prayers are doing in the spirit, like everybody else in the Bible. But I also want to believe, God, that God will begin to visit each and every one of you to bring us to a understanding of what is going on in the spirit and how we position ourselves to lead this generation into a place of victory and a place of restoration because of the Jubilee God is bringing. Father, we thank you so much for this time. We thank you as we look at men and women in the Bible that have been so faithful to you, but almost missed their moment of fulfillment, their moment of breakthrough. Father, we thank you for the lesson you've taught us through Mary, through Anna, through these faithful women of God who truly were sensitive even at the very beginning of your move. You never come the same way. You always come in different ways. Father, help us with all that you're doing in this hour, not to miss what you're saying and what you're about to do. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.